Let's begin our time together. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Our Father, we thank you so much for the blessed time around your word that you have time and again provided for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can study your word. Thank you that we can look in and see what you would have for us each week. Do pray, Lord, that as we study together, that you would work in our hearts, that we would understand and that we would implement what we have heard. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. May it be, Lord, that even this day your word would be profitable to us. In your precious name, amen. We want to consider this morning the work of the Holy Spirit as far as the revelation of the wisdom of God. The Apostle Paul here in this context, he is contrasting throughout chapter 1 and chapter 2, man's wisdom as opposed to God's wisdom. And when he deals with this issue, he centers it upon the Holy Spirit. So often we do not study the work of the Holy Spirit or understand what the Holy Spirit does. A lot of times we just take it for granted that it is a work that is provided by our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And where that is true, in a way, the Holy Spirit has a particular work, and his work is applying the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Apostle Paul contrasts between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. First of all, regarding man's wisdom, man's wisdom is found in himself. Wisdom comes out of his own thinking, comes out of his own heart, comes out of his own creativity. It's an earthly wisdom, and he lives in that wisdom. He is in the realm of darkness. He does not know the grace of God. He hasn't experienced that saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's dead in his sins. And therefore, all he has is the wisdom that comes within his own heart. Blind is what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Their condition is one of blindness. So he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Their mind is blinded as far as the wisdom of God, as far as true understanding and true knowledge. They cannot see, and so the Apostle Paul speaks of it here in 1 Corinthians. When he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, "The message of the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are perishing." It doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't add up to them. They don't understand it. And it is simply foolishness to them. Not only that, but he goes on to say that dominates the hearts of men, that apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom resides in them. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, he says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, nor can he know them." So it's not only that their foolishness, and they don't make sense, and he doesn't take it seriously, but they cannot know them. They can't know the wisdom of God. In themselves, they are in a realm where they can only see what the world says, only see what their own heart says. You know that this is true, as David says in Psalm 14. In Psalm 14, he says this: "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand or seek God. They have all turned aside. There's no one who understands God. There's no one who seeks God. They all turn aside." That's the condition of your heart if you do not know in a personal way the Lord Jesus Christ, if your life has not been changed. Then all of this is just kind of foolishness. It just doesn't make sense. And you look at it and it has no effect upon you. They are confined to the realm of the world. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, where he says this: "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" That is the realm that men are in apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in the realm of the wisdom of this world. This is what they go by. Whatever they think, they go by whatever is out there and spoken by other men and women in the world. It's what are the trends that go on. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6, the apostle says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." They're confined to a realm where they do not know the wisdom of God, and they cannot know the wisdom of God, and they have no interest in knowing the wisdom of God. That's why men can sit and hear the preaching of the Word of God, and it means nothing to them. The wisdom of God means nothing to them, and they have absolutely no interest. Their interest is in how they think. Their interest is what they desire to do. And what happens to these people? Well, these people, the apostle says, are perishing. They're perishing. They are lost. They are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be, if they die in this state, and they will be condemned to judgment, the judgment of punishment, and the judgment of hell. Perishing. Well, in contrast to that, the Apostle Paul comes and speaks regarding the wisdom of Christ, and he speaks regarding the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit so often is not looked at as it should be. What does the Spirit of God do? The Holy Spirit is one who applies the atonement of Christ. He applies that work which sanctifies God's people. And true wisdom, God's wisdom, is what the Holy Spirit deals with. God's wisdom. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he says in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 30, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us," what? "The wisdom from God, and righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that as it is written, 'He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.'" The wisdom from God. It is different than the wisdom of the world. It's contrasted, totally opposite of the wisdom of the world. "For this wisdom is spoken by the Lord Christ," Hebrews 1 and verse 2. He has spoken in these last days, and when he speaks the wisdom of Almighty God. Listen again in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and what? The wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God which by which the Spirit of God works in the hearts of all true believers. Now, what is the work of the Spirit of God? We go to the text that we read in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. He says, but God has revealed to us, them to us, this wisdom of God through His Spirit. His Spirit, Holy Spirit, is the agent of revealing God's wisdom to the people of God. You see, in verse 9, of 1 Corinthians 2. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Those who love Him are those who are joined to Him, and those who know Him personally. And when they know Him personally, and they're joined to Him, it's in that context that the Spirit of God works, and He works not apart from Christ, but in Christ. He works to reveal them unto us. Those things that He's prepared, He reveals to us. The Spirit of God is one who has that activity and that work in the hearts of God's people. John, the Gospel of John, he comes to show the work of the Spirit in very clear terms in John chapter 14 and verse 26 of that chapter. He says, regarding the Holy Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It is the Holy Spirit who's the agent. It's the Holy Spirit, the one who gives us understanding. And then He will teach us all things that we need to know God, all things that we need to be saved, all things that God desires us to know regarding Him. He says that He will bring it to your remembrance. Not only that, but then in verse 17 of John 14, he says this, the Spirit of truth, because the Spirit works only in the context of truth. He does not work in error, but in all truth, the wisdom of God. He works in that context whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. You see, there's that contrast once again, that those who are from the world, they cannot receive, they cannot understand, but the work of the Holy Spirit to the people of God is that they will know, they will come to understand, and they dwell, the Spirit of God dwells in us. In chapter 15, John goes on to say, in verse 26 of that chapter, but when the Helper comes, that is the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. He will testify. He will work in the hearts of God's people. He will reveal the Father. He will reveal the Son. It is that work that He does. In chapter 16 of John, this is what He says in verse 13. Speaking primarily to His disciples, but certainly affects all of God's people, when He says, however, when He, that is, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will guide you. He will show you. He will reveal to you, so that the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a true believer is one of revelation. He reveals the wisdom of God, something that they cannot attain on their own, something that is totally of Him and by Him. That is that work of revealing the truth. Going back to the text in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." We cannot search the deep things of God of ourselves. Our minds are not capable of doing that because of the infinite character of Almighty God. But the Spirit of God searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, whether it is to reveal the nature of God or whether it is to reveal the salvation that He gives to us. Now notice how he speaks of the wisdom of God in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." We speak the wisdom of God. That is, we speak that which is hidden. It cannot be found of itself. It's a mystery that cannot be solved in itself, a depth that cannot be explored on its own. It is totally that work of the Holy Spirit. Do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Do we come before God as we open Holy Scripture? Do we seek to understand the Holy Word of God of ourselves? Do we seek our own wisdom, or do we plead that the Spirit of God would make known His wisdom? We know nothing apart from the Spirit of God. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." That's the only way that you can learn. That's the only way that you can know, is by the preaching, by the work, that is, of the Holy Spirit. And all of that is that you might know what God has said. So verse 12 of chapter 2, he says, "Now, we've received not the spirit of the world." No. "But being in Christ, we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given unto us by God." God, by His Spirit, He will show us. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He shows us, and every believer has access. Every believer has that work done on his or her behalf. There is no one that is left out. And we can't know of ourselves, but we know in Him and Him alone. What a glorious work of the Spirit of God. And when you understand that sense, the Spirit is the one who illuminates, the Spirit's the one who gives us understanding, then the Apostle John, he says in John 16 that the Spirit of God is the one who then takes that word to the heart. He convicts the heart. He gives understanding to the heart. And so you know that the Spirit of God is working in your life, in my life, when we see the result of the Spirit of God. The Scriptures make sense. The Gospel makes sense. The world does not make sense. Why is it that men go to the world? Why is it they want to think like they want? It's because they're in the realm of darkness. But not so with the Spirit of God. Now notice what Paul says in our chapter in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, when he speaks of the preaching of the Word of God. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. So when the apostle preached, he preached only what God has said. He preached only what the Word of God has said. He preaches that which the Holy Spirit has shown to him and is the Holy Spirit of truth. And when he preaches, he makes sure that what he says and what he preaches is according to the Word of God. Because who cares what is your opinion? Who cares what you think? Who cares what you have created? People create all types of things and call it religion. People seek to conform religion to the world so they can be more comfortable and easily received. Not so. The Apostle Paul says, no, when I'm preaching, I'm not preaching in the wisdom of men. This isn't my thoughts. This isn't what I'm thinking. I am preaching according to the power of God. I'm preaching in the context of truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who grants me that blessed grace in order to do that. Galatians chapter 1, Paul deals with this once again when he says this in verses 1 through 10, where he deals with the gospel, and the gospel being that which is distorted. I marvel, he says in verse 6, that you have turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You see, the fact that you're preaching the gospel and the fact that the people of God are hearing the gospel doesn't mean that they're always going to follow the gospel. You say, well, I'm hearing the gospel, so I'm set. This is it. No! How easily it is to deviate. How easily it is to listen to the whispers and the wisdom of men. Men that distort the gospel, either for gain or for their own fame. No, he says, this cannot be. And it's just so soon that you have departed, he says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Any change in the gospel is perverting the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So it isn't the man and what he says that you listen to. It is the truth, and whether the truth is coming from the man who is speaking. That is the issue. A lot of times people listen to the man. Have you ever had that where believers have said, oh, this man, when he preaches, oh, boy, there's just something there. I listen. When this man, oh, this is my favorite. This is what? And we are more enamored with the man and not the truth. It is the truth that stirs our heart. It is the truth that is blessed. And wherever that truth resides, in whatever gift it resides, it is that which the Spirit of God uses mightily to come to the hearts of God's people and change our hearts and save sinners from their sins. It is that which the apostle says, so when I preach, I'm very careful that I don't at all put into my preaching my little stories, or I put into my preaching just what people want to hear and my ideas and my creativity and maybe we can make the church better by this, that. No, he says, I preach by the power, what? Of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is the one who reveals truth, all truth, to the people of God. And in that context, there is power brought forth to the preaching of the Word of God. It is the Spirit of God. So, when a man preaches and a life is changed, Oh, how often it is that we say, oh, Pastor so-and-so, oh, magnificent. And he preached, boy, there's this person came forward, that one came forward. I mean, this life was changed, that life was changed. No, that is wrong. That is not right. But if a life is changed in the context of preaching truth, the life will be changed, what? By the Spirit of God alone. It is the Spirit of God who reveals truth to you and I. Therefore, it doesn't matter who the servant is. We're looking for truth. We're looking for that which the Spirit of God uses and reveals to us. The Holy Spirit does. Not our opinion, worldly philosophers. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9 of that chapter. Listen to what he says. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You can't even be compared. What is your puny little thought compared to God, who is infinite in wisdom, who knows all things and is never surprised by anything? And what is it when you think that you can outthink God? You think that your thoughts can be equal with God or put God in his place, like so many preachers and people think. No, listen. Your thoughts are not at all my thoughts, says God. My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. And therefore, it is the wisdom of God found in Christ, who is true wisdom, that the Spirit of God functions and works as he brings to bear the Word of God to our hearts. This is the attitude that we should have. In Acts, the 17th chapter, let me read Acts 17 chapter. This should be our attitude. Verse 10 of Acts 17. "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." They were ready to receive, but they searched what? The scriptures. They didn't search all the different seminars that was going on. They didn't search what other men were saying. They searched Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture is what they searched to see whether these things be sense. Yes, I love the preacher dearly. Yes, I love the pastor dearly. But it's my job to study and to see whether these things be so. Spirit of God reveals to us. It is his work. So the question comes, and it's this: do you know anything regarding the work of the Spirit in the heart? Do you know anything changing your life and giving you truth? Is the Bible that which makes no sense, has no relevance? You don't care even to look into it? Is the Bible something that you just put aside and you go with your life as to what you think and what the world thinks? Is that so? Then you are in the context of blindness and darkness, and you are perishing. But if you are in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is working Why is it that we don't plead before him as we come to Holy Scripture? That, Lord, reveal truth, reveal the wisdom of God. What is it that Christ has spoken, and we come with that type of attitude? How often we do, we go to Scripture and we just open the Bible and begin to read, just like that. Do we stop for a moment and pray to the Holy Spirit? There are some people who believe you can only pray to the Father. No. The triune God is that which works on our behalf. Each one of the same essence, one God in three persons. And we pray to the Father. We pray to the Son. We pray to the Holy Spirit. And so often, the Holy Spirit is just neglected. That is a person that we just take for granted, and we must not. So if we're to understand Holy Scripture, we must be careful to pray that, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would open the word to me. We pray that here in reference to the preaching. What effect has the lesson had on you today? Anything? Is it just another sermon? Is it just another truth? Is it just, well, you know, that's pretty good information. Wow, you know, I mean, hey, I have enough to take a few notes here and there. Or is it that which burns in your own heart? Lord, Holy Spirit, you reveal the depths of Almighty God. And that's what I want to know. I want to go as deep as I can. I will for all eternity be learning of my God. But I want to see the depth. I want to see behind the curtain and reveal to me. And every time I hear the word of God, there is that building up. There is the change of heart. How complacent we are to the Spirit of God. Is it any wonder that the Spirit of God at times are grieved? And then what? We just go on and we find ourselves time and again being cold towards God. We can't pray as we ought. We can't do the things that we ought because we've excluded the Spirit of God. We've put him along the side, and we've not come to him in a passionate manner. We've not come to him and pleaded, Lord, blessed Holy Spirit, work in my heart, even this day, that things would be different. We have said many times, and so it is so, that every time that we study Holy Scripture, every time that we hear the preaching of Holy Scripture, there should be a measure of transformation within our hearts. There should be a stirring within our hearts. There ought to be the Word of God applied in our hearts. And is that so? That's the question that we ask. Is that so? And so is it just another Sunday? Is it just another service? You see, these are very practical issues that the people of God face time and again. What a wonder, what a glory that is to be able to know the wisdom of God. A wisdom that never directs us to a dead end. Never directs us on a wrong road. Never gives us information of God and God's will that doesn't work. But the Holy Spirit is always fresh in giving insights into the Word of God, showing us more and more our own hearts, where we need to repent and where we need to have a stronger faith in him, where we need to shore up in our own conduct and our own walk. The Holy Spirit bless his holy name is the one who is faithful to the people of God, that we might know God and that we might know all the things that he has so ordained us to know. What a glory that is, because he says in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2, he says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We've been given freely so many gifts and so much to understand regarding the work and person of our God. And the Spirit of God is the one who has revealed that we might know. We can know. So often, those who profess to know Christ say, well, you know what? I know an awful lot right now. I don't need to know too much more. I got it all down. Not so. Always something to learn. May it be that God would grant to us appreciation for the work of the Holy Spirit and a calling out to the Holy Spirit, that He would change us, that He would convict us, that He would reveal the wisdom of God. Can't get enough of it if you are a true child of God. May it be so, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for the ministry that You have done on our behalf. Thank You so much that You have shown Your mercy in the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, blessed Spirit, thank You for revealing truth. Thank You for meeting with us. As we continue in worship, that You would do so. Open up the Word. Make it real. Make it alive. Make it something that is so precious to us and something that we long to know more and more about You. How is it that we can please You? How is it that we can walk in a way that is honoring unto You? Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, how we long that You would teach us, and You have promised to do so. We call upon that promise, and we plead that we would see the result. In Your most holy name we pray. Amen.